Hello, everyone. My name is Garrett.
This is Jabin.
And welcome back to Cross Country Comments. It has been a couple of months, and this is not like dear fellow. Oh, phones, stop it. My phone was buzzing. But I know it's been a couple of months, and this is not because it's like, oh, it's because of you. It's because my schedule was busy. No, I went out there for the wedding, and then I came back, and both of our work schedules said, here's all the hours. And so getting our schedules to line up has been an atrocity.
I still got work a while before this. So, like, it's, you know, I had to just wake up early in the morning to do this. So,
you got to go work after this?
Yeah. So I gotta go work after this. So I haven't gotten it off. Yeah, I'm not off until in like 4 days, 5 days. So yeah.
And you've worked a number of days in a row. Mine is your birthday. Everyone wish him a happy birthday, by the way. This is going to go up at least a week and a half after his birthday, but I better hear some happy birthdays. Not that you guys can verbally talk to us, but it's a happy birthday to Jabin.
Oh my goodness.
I sang
if you're gonna do that, I'm gonna sing the other one.
Never mind. We'll talk about what he means in a second.
We'll talk about what we mean in a second. But I do want to say sorry to everyone who's been waiting. I know that we got a lot more listeners coming through, and I know that we have a few people watching on YouTube. Sorry it took so long. Like he said, work schedules happened. He actually went out on vacation as well on top of that. So he got almost triple the vacation time.
One of them was a work trip, so like that doesn't
half.
Count.
Yeah. So, like, I call that half. But we had to come together for this little piece of Disney lore that they wanted to put the title Star Wars on. So but let me first and foremost just say before this episode starts, we are spoiling the Acolyte episodes 1, 2, and 3. If you want to watch those for yourself, go on ahead. You can suffer if you want to. If you don't want to suffer, you want to hear the truth and hear what's going on without watching it and giving Disney Plus money and views or recommendations, please stay.
Hi, we're here.
This is going to be very, very, very biased. And the reason why it's going to be very, very biased is because there's a certain way Star Wars was supposed to go, that it needs to go, and it completely went down the toilet. So again, viewer discretion, listening discretion, because it's going to get uncomfortable in terms of what we like, what we don't like, etc. And to us, this is not Star Wars. So first and foremost, let's get into it. I think it's only right if I start off with the first episode, you do the second episode, and then I do the third episode, and then thoughts all around.
But I agree, but before we get to that, I want us both to go over our anticipation for what we hoped the show was going to be and what we were expecting from it because of the title.
Okay, you go first. Okay, you go first then.
So when I heard, and side note, guys, normally we do like 2 or 3 topics on an episode. This one is solely dedicated to the Acolyte and are why we're making this episode. But when it comes to the Acolyte, I was fairly excited. Not as excited as I was when I saw some of the other things they're planning and some of the other things that haven't come out yet, but that's a whole different story. But when I saw the Acolyte, I was fairly excited for the reason that Acolyte, I was like, oh my gosh, they are making a Sith-based show. That is going to be sick because they have never made a Sith-based show. Me and Jabin talked about it, even if it's like, because I think we did talk about the Acolyte in one episode when we talked about 1943 and all that. If you guys want to go check that out, that was like our before thoughts. So this is basically recapping that. But it was like a Sith-based show where I don't know if they were going to go like, oh, it's going to be fully Sith-based and making the Jedi the enemy, or, oh, it's going to be a child raised up as a Sith to be an acolyte, but then sees the ways of the Sith and how they're horrible to people, kind of like a Battlefront 2 scenario. And so I was like, either one of those I would be down for, because that in a show form is such a sick concept. And I was like, okay, newer Star Wars, hopefully they learn their lesson and have some good like lightsaber battles learned from episode 7, 8, and 9. But I was like, and this is in the High Republic. So they've never done anything TV or movie in the High Republic. So I was pumped for those things. And this show had so much potential running for it with the name alone. The name and the era it was going to be in, it had a ton of potential. That's where I'm going to leave my thoughts on what I hoped it would be.
What I hoped it would be how the High Republic is portrayed in the comic books, because I was collecting. I was collecting the High Republic, the era, because I wanted to know more about it. I personally loved some of the characters. I loved some of the stories that I was collecting. A little bit was okay. It's not like insane, but it's pretty enjoyable. It's nice to see what Jedi could, you know, were doing around that time, and you know what I'm saying, like different little fun missions, adventures here and there. But I was hoping to delve deeper, because if you're gonna make a movie and TV show based off of the High Republic, I would expect it to have the emotional beats of like how the Star Wars movies had and everything like that. Even the bad ones, even the sequels, you know, they still had hard emotional beats. They still had, you know, had a great sense of how the Force worked. So like that's what I was expecting from Acolyte. I wanted to explore more of the High Republic as soon as they announced it, and I was hyped for it. That's why I collected the comics. Like, I was really hoping it was going to be a very interesting show. When I heard that it was 100 years before The Phantom Menace, I was skeptical because of Master Kai Adamundi from episode 1. He said the Sith hasn't ever been seen for over a millennia. So I was wondering how they were going to make it work. I was skeptical, but I was like, you know what? They got this. It's something new that none of us have explored before. Let me just dive in. There's no way for them to mess this up in such a horrible way if they know who the Jedi are and what they were supposed to be and how George Lucas created them in the first place. Because if they have that, you know, that journal, then we're fine. So that's what I was expecting from the Acolyte. And I was expecting the Jedi Council. I wanted to see some of Yoda as well, because I wanted to see who was going to be on the council at that time. And Yaddle, yes. And I wanted to see if Yaddle was like a knight or something. So that's what I was expecting.
Okay, well, now let's go ahead and get into it. You can start with episode 1, my friend.
Oh, that's right. episode 1. Goodness gracious. So, what happened in episode 1? I guess you're able to have a fire in space. But I'll let that slide because of creative choices.
Yeah.
All I'm thinking about is episode 3. I'm really trying to wrap around. Okay. I love Master Sol.
He is good.
I love him. He's great. I know a lot of people are bashing him about his accent and everything like that. He learned English just for this show. And I have to be totally honest, he hits the emotional beats very well. And he is reenacting to people's words in such a great way. The other master that shows up, the homegirl in the green that has I think she has blue markings on her head. Makeup was horrible. Her acting was not great. I'm not sure if it was the acting or the script, but it was not good, because even his words were not good either, but he still did great with what he got. he was hitting those beats to what she was saying in such a perfect way, like he understood her perfectly. So his acting was on par. Oh my God, the fighting. The fighting is 10 out of 10. Don't get me wrong. The fighting is great. They matrix this in such a smooth Jedi way. This gets a little heat, but I like the concept of don't pull out your lightsaber unless you're ready to kill something. I like that a lot, especially for the High Republic, because this was at a time where the Jedi were supposed to be at their best. So literally they could have diffused any situation through diplomacy and peace. Unless they had to, had to kill something or, really like intimidate something. So I thought that was great. And Carrie-Anne Moss was great. Hated when she got killed immediately because they literally did promotions off of her
She's
for
on the main screen.
For so long. Like they made it seem like she was going to be a main character when so far we've only seen her twice. And one of those times was only for maybe 10 minutes. And the episode that you just watched, episode three, she's in there. And probably the allocated time altogether is probably 3 minutes. So she's not even in there for so long.
Wasted potential.
But exactly. She was great. Her fight scenes were fantastic. But yeah, she gets killed with the kitchen knife right off the bat. I started thinking about it more, and the randomly going up to people and trying to kill them in the middle of a bar, it seemed cool, but the line that she how she delivered the line, I didn't believe it. And it's in I'm trying to not be biased because I don't necessarily like this whatever they identify themselves as. I'll just say actor slash actress. It's very bothering how she's delivering this line these lines, but I was able to, move that to the side because the fighting was gonna be great. It was great. Then her master needs to have a mask. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, that bothers me a lot. You need to be intimidating in order to look like Darth Vader. No, you don't. You gotta jump off that trope. It's too much, and the way they did it was too corny. They try to make it seem like that like the home dude or girl had teeth. And I actually have a theory about that. I think I know who that person is, and I think you'll agree with me. And then igniting the lightsaber for no reason, even though no one's around there as the ending scene, stupid. And why don't they change their hairstyle? Why do they still have the same exact hairstyle that they were when they were kids? Like if Osha really wanted to be like different from her sister, why did she keep that hairstyle? Like, whatever, I digress. But yeah, so far episode one wasn't insanely bad. It just wasn't a great start. But I was still hopeful after this because I was like, you know what? Soul is cool. I like what they're doing. Home dude seems scared. The guy that was helping, May out. I was like, okay, I recognize that actor. I was like, you know what? This might not be so bad. So episode one. I'm chilling. Osha should have died in that ship crash. She is, I think she is the MacGuffin. But again, I was like, I let so many things slide past that is actually insane just because I wanted to like the Acolyte so much. So this got a major pass for me, but it is not a good start.
No, I agree. I agree with most of those points on episode one. I'll move on to episode two. So basically, episode two, I watched them back to back because, like Jabin said, I went on a work trip recently and I was on the plane. I was like, I'll download the first few episodes and check them out just because he told me a little bit about what's going on. And I was like, let me see it for myself. Downloaded the first two episodes. First episode, I agree with most of that. Second episode. So again, the fight choreography, incredible. I love the fact of like that Mei's whole thing is like you gotta try and kill a Jedi without like essentially having a weapon. Without having a weapon, you gotta kill a Jedi. And it was like, okay, that's an interesting concept. No one normally does that, especially in the High Republic era. So it was a very unique concept. I was intrigued by that. Again, Master Soul, great actor. He was in Squid Game. And like you said, he learned English just for this role. So it felt a little flat at points, but I'm going to give him a major pass because English is not his native language and his acting beats are on point. So I'll give him that. I even at some points, I forget his name, but he's his old apprentice.
Oh my gosh.
He's the one who was super like attack heavy, essentially. Would constantly pull out his lightsaber and knows about Mei and knew Osha from a long time ago.
Oh god, whatever the frick his name is that had its shirt off. I don't like him.
I don't like his character. His acting ability, he had some good moments in episode 2. I didn't love him, but I think he had some decent moments. I'm getting all the good stuff out of the way first.
Yeah.
Other than that, just about everyone's acting ability in that episode fell very, very flat. I didn't connect with any of the characters, except for Master Soul. Again, I'm great on him. The fight scene, I know I said the fight scenes were great, but I'm specifically going to give it to the fight scene between Mei and him, where he didn't even pull out his lightsaber and he was dodging left and right. And he was like, he was basically talking to her while dodging every single attack. And it was the most.
Oh, and just so you know, I don't think he had like martial arts training before this either, like the actual actor. So let me give that to you. Be like he literally worked hard to really like make sure he was perfect for this role. So let me put that out there.
I'm definitely giving him the most props in the entire show. He kind of gave, and this is something you said, which I'm going to reiterate, which I agree with. He gave off very much a the guy from Rogue One, blind guy.
Donnie Yen.
He gave off very much that kind of feel because he didn't crack a lot of jokes, but he cracked a few. He was a little funny, but like he was so calm in the Force. Like he didn't yell. I think he may have like got upset at one point, but he never like used emotion. He was just like, yeah, I'm using it. What of it? And that was very, very nice to see. It was very entertaining. The scenery of the show, beautiful. The shots they have, like the wide shots and the mountainsides and the cities, beautiful scenery. Now that I got the good out of the way, again, acting felt very, very flat. I didn't feel any emotion with Mei whatsoever. I didn't have empathy for her. I didn't think she was scary. I didn't think she was a threat. I think the concept of there being a good twin and a bad twin is a good general concept if done right, because it's almost, they're not twins, but it's almost a Force Unleashed concept.
No, they are.
Oh yeah. Oh, they are twins. I'm sorry. I haven't played it in a while, but it is the Force Unleashed concept. Force Unleashed did it great, but a good twin and a bad twin. And so I heard about the concept. I was like, all right, I have hope for this. They didn't execute it well at all because I didn't feel any emotional pull toward either of them. I don't think that either of them have a very good sense of their character. I'm going to put it that way. It feels like they're just in the role to get money and push an agenda. And there's no heart put into it whatsoever. And so episode 2 left off feeling very, I felt very hesitant because like Jabin said, episode 1, I gave it a few passes as well. I tried to look for the good. So it was like a, 6. I told them episode 1 and 2 left it at like a 6-ish for me. That was episode 1 and 2. And I said even possibly down to a 5.5 because there were, you know, the good moments, the good scenery, good fights, one good character, and the rest of it fell flat. Then we move on to episode 3. Hey, be my guest.
Hold on. I got some stuff to say about episode 2 still.
Okay, go ahead.
We have our very first heavy set Jedi. That made me very uncomfortable.
What are we talking about?
In terms of the fact, you don't remember him. I'm surprised you didn't notice. A big dude, fat dude. He was a Jedi.
Was he on? He was in the Jedi Council, wasn't he?
We don't ever see the Jedi Council.
Not the Jedi Council. He wasn't in the Jedi Temple, was he?
Yeah, he's the one that helped them out and tried to draw May. He's the one that reported everything.
I know exactly who you're talking. Okay, yeah, no, that was so surprising.
I'm just gonna say this out there: the Jedi are the most healthiest people in the universe. I'm just gonna put that out there. If anyone is heavy set, it's because they're an alien and their body structure is just completely different to humanoids. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm gonna leave that there. Second, Master Torben, him being in force stasis, meditation stasis for 10 years is one of the coolest things ever.
I agree. Was like,
holy crap, this is tight. What made him want to meditate for 10 years and forget about what he did? The fact that he killed himself when May just shows up. After the force like blocked for him and everything like that, Matrix style, and he said, "I'm sorry, I can't do this anymore." And then he drinks the poison that Meg isn't like. That's how I knew the show was not going to be good. Was as soon as Master Torben offed himself. That was not. That had nothing to do with the story. I wanted more of Master Torben because of how cool the whole 10 years in Force Stasis was. Again, we've never seen that before, and I wanted to see a better reason of why. And we will see why in the next episode, not episode 3, but I think in the next episode after that, because if it's for the reason that is in episode 3, then there's no reason for him to be in Force Stasis. But yeah, the fact that he was off immediately was very irritating. And seeing Kel Naka, the Chewie the Wookiee Jedi for the first time, even Ivana was like, no. She automatically said, no, this is not natural. She was like, this is not it. Like, and it's funny because there's one thing that George Lucas said is that a Wookiee would never be a Jedi. And he even broke his own rule in Clone Wars. But that was one rule that he had for Star Wars, is that a Wookiee would never be a Jedi. And he broke his own rule, which I felt was good as a Padawan. But the way they show Kel Naka, he was too skinny. His head was too big. And for Ivana, she was like, no, this is not how it's supposed to be. And as soon as she went, she was like, nope, I'm done. She literally went like, this is, I feel uncomfortable. I can't do this. And I was like, we still have to watch episode 3. So now we get into episode 3.
Real quick side note. Like, just like one phrase. What you told me about Master, was it Kel Naka? No, not Kel Naka was the...
Master Torben?
Torben, thank you. I'm not great with names, if you guys didn't notice. Master Torben, what you said reminded me of Revenge of the Sith in the sense that Obi-Wan told Anakin, I failed you. I'm sorry. Like, I sucked as your master. But what Master Torben did was the equivalent of Obi-Wan going, I'm sorry, I failed you, and then flipping his lightsaber and laying on it. Like,
yep.
It was the equivalent of that, because if you're meditating for 10 years, you should have, like, come to terms with what you did and moved on no matter how bad it was and try to atone for it by doing good stuff. Not by being like, oh,
we've never seen Yoda do that before.
Mm-mm. And he's made mistakes too. When he fought Sidious, he saw that Sidious was awful and he felt he went into exile. I'll give him that. He did go into exile, but he never offed himself. He literally just went into exile on Dagobah. Was it the right thing to do? No. But he still was trying to do the right thing in the sense that the Jedi were being hunted at this point. He couldn't do anything better. So he was like, I feel awful. I'm not going to try and stir up any more trouble. I'm going to go exile myself and live in peace. When Master Torben was like, I'm sorry, I've done bad. And it was like, that makes zero sense for a Jedi to do.
In the High Republic.
Especially in the High Republic. Okay, rant over.
And just so you know, episode 2 is when I wanted to stop collecting High Republic comic books. I'm actually going to either throw them away now, or I'm going to sell them. Honestly, I'm probably going to throw them away. But yeah, I'm done. With my High Republic collection, it's not worth it. This is where I wanted to burn them. This episode, I even told you, I marked the calendar of the day and I watched it because I told you this is the day that the Star Wars dies in terms of, like, not the real Star Wars, but I just mean our excitement for Star Wars lore from Disney dies. And it did. Everyone is complaining. I've never seen a low rating on Rotten Tomatoes like this before. It is currently at 15% audience score, while everyone is trying to be on... Oh, I shouldn't say that phrase. Everyone is trying to be on Disney's good side in terms of...
I know what you were going to say.
Yeah.
It just clicked in my head. Sorry, keep going.
You know, it's true though. The critics are trying to be on Disney's good side, and the rating for the critic score is 86% or 89%, something like that. But this is the lowest rated ever Star Wars project. It's even lower than the holiday special. It's even lower than The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker.
That's this near Velma. Lower...
Yeah, pretty much. So this is really bad. None of us like it. The audience has spoken. And I haven't even told you about the episode yet.
I watched part of it.
And no, I'm even talking to the audience right now who's listening and everything. Oh. Like, I haven't even said about the episode yet. And magazine articles are blaming fans, not just Disney. Magazine articles, Forbes, they just said that the fans are basically stupid. Leslie Headlin, what is this, attacking the fans, the actress or actor, because they count as they, the showrunner, the girl.
I'm sorry, girl I don't care about
May.
Yeah, I don't care about
the girl
about
that plays
people.
May
it's
and OSHA.
I'm sorry, I just don't care anymore. May.
No, I understand. The girl that plays May and OSHA, she is attacking the fans as well. So it's going on for too long. So before I talk about the episode, let me talk about this episode. The episode starts off with May and OSHA when they're on their home planet, Brendog. And the homegirl is trying to use, I believe OSHA is trying to use the Force to keep this bug thing in stasis. And May, she kind of is a little destructive with it, so you can already tell, like, who these, you know, characters are going to be later. They're not cast, they're supposed to be twins, but they don't look alike at all. Literally, the only thing that they have is that they're black and have the same hairstyle. That's not enough. You need to have the same facial structure, especially since the actress who is playing both the twins when they're older are literally the same person. You need to cast either the same person as a little girl or cast an actual set of twins in order for them to actually look the same. because they do not look the same. I was very angry at the fact that I knew exactly who was who. I wanted to be confused. I wanted to be like, I wanted to know the characteristics by the characteristics. I didn't want to look at their face and be like, oh, that's May. Oh, that's Osha. I wanted them to tell me in terms of their personality. They definitely told me by personality, but it did bother me that they didn't look alike. But I was like, you know what? Fine, I'll put that aside. Spice creams. Clever. Put that aside. Then Mother Coral, the one that looks like that looks like a Zabrak. I think she's a Zabrak. The one that you call the Darth Maul sister. This I think she is a Zabrak. She plays the very cynical, hard, like they need to be stronger type of older character, while the mother Anisha, I think her name was Anisha, is the more like caring of their feelings, but somehow still more powerful than her. And they are in a relationship, it seems like. They're in a relationship. Anisha's very soft, the coral. Don't worry, I'll drop the bomb. And then this is where they drop the bomb about the Force, and this is where things start to really break. You think it's not broken? This is where things break. Let me explain to you first how the Force works, explained by Yoda and Obi-Wan on countless times and other Star Wars media that we played and watched. The Force is literally everything. Life creates the Force. If we want to go into scientific terms, there are little mini organisms in our cells called midichlorians that bind everything together, that literally keep everything all together. Life creates the Force. You are able to move things that have midichlorians in them through the Force. That's how you're able to manipulate the Force. That's how you're able to do so much with the Force. It's even more explained in the Clone Wars, where we have the father, the son, and the daughter. The daughter representing the light side of the Force, the son representing the dark side of the Force, and the father doing his best to bring balance to it. That literally gave us the prophecy of, oh, like Anakin, needs to be this father figure somehow for the embodiment of the physical Force. It's supposed to be cool. Like, it's supposed to make it interesting. It's supposed to make it I'm sorry if this bothers some people in a way, but everyone should know what I mean about this. It should be magical. It should have a little
Some unknown
like for some
elements.
reason a li yeah unknown elements that make you feel, oh my goodness, you know what I mean? Like, this is awesome. That makes you want to be that type of person. That's what the Force is. That's what the Force was to us. That's what the Force is to us. So the very definition of the Force has been told to us in a non-confusing way through consecutive movies. Even 7, 8, and 9 explain how the Force works. Even Han Solo told us that's not how the Force works.
We'll use the Force. That's not how the Force works.
When the Force wasn't working a certain way. So that's how the Force works. They completely throw it away and put it in the toilet and flush it and make sure that it's gone. The Force to these coven of witches, which are basically a D brand great value version of the Night Sisters in Clone Wars that even Garrett doesn't even like as much. But that's basically what they are. And they call the Force a thread. They call the Force a thread, and their mentality of the thread is more on the dark side of the Force, where you pull the Force and force the Force to to do your bidding the way you want in a dark, unnatural way. That's literally these Coven of Witches, except that they change the basically the view of the dark side of the Force for them as something that is pure, that is that ties a bond with everyone that is tied by the thread. Basically all the dark side stuff, they literally called it, you know what? The dark side is just misunderstood, you know, especially with these witches. And they made the witches oppressed and cast out of wherever they came from, and they went through a struggle just because they were able to do something that was so unnatural and dark, that literally was referencing Palpatine's at the dark side of the Force is the pathway to many abilities, some considered to be unnatural. They literally took that and gave that to the witches and made that seem like it's a it misunderstood. So that's the thread. And they were able, but the thing that was dark and unnatural, which Palpatine and his master Darth Plagueis was able to do, was accidentally creating Anakin that they didn't know, because they were trying to create life. And the Force basically said no in its own way and impregnated Smeeb Skywalker. That's the whole point of the cool story of Anakin, is that he was the first one and the chosen one because he was made by the living Force. Yeah, that's all garbage now. These witches are able to create a set of female twins on a whim. So Mother Ayesha impregnated Coral through the living force. Well, sorry, the living thread.
I'm wondering if you can hear
And
me rolling my eyes or not.
oh no, I can hear it. It's loud.
And I'm talking about the people on the podcast that aren't watching the video.
Oh yeah. The silence speaks volumes.
Great.
Yeah, they were able to create the twins. So these are lesbian witches, essentially, and literally. And yeah, so now we know how they were born. And they have an ascension ceremony so that the twins can become witches. So they have this ceremony, and literally it's her explaining what they had to go through, and people go randomly, and
I think your
it's
mic
a
completely cut
huge
out when you did
big, yeah, it did. It's a huh, I call,
that.
and then they have like a big how do I say this PG wise? They look like they're gratifying themselves in a certain way that looks way too pleasurable and is very uncomfortable. And then they start chanting these words, the power of one, the power of two, the power of many, in their own SoundCloud soundtrack. And it is literally one of the most uncomfortable moments in my entire life, not Star Wars, in my entire life, to where now I make fun of Ivana by chanting that for fun to make her irritated. It is essentially the same as being tortured by a military officer from a different country. It's horrible. And they are able to ascend Mei, the bad one, later. With this, and she goes, oh, and basically has like this purplish thread that goes into Mei's forehead. And then the Jedi all of a sudden show up. I guess they're stranded on Brendok for some reason, even though Brendok's not a part of the Republic, which gets me so irritated that the fact that the Jedi just show up, like there's over billions of kids in that galaxy, and they don't pick each and every one. They literally just go to the one that, whatever. So it's not a part of the Republic, first of all, which is fine, but I'm mad that the Jedi are there and they know that the children are there and they want to test them. But one scene that you didn't see is, remember Master Torben, the one that was meditating and stuff like that? So we see him as a Padawan. He's a Padawan at this time, and he's there. So the four Jedi that she wants to kill are Sol, Carrie Ann Moss's character, Indara, Torben, and Kel Naka. All four of them are there. as soon as he's like, I want to touch the children, she looks at Torben. All of a sudden, Torben loses all consciousness. His eyes turn purple, and he's like stuck, like he's kind of like having a seizure. Yeah, the witches can not only force push, which is special to them. They are able to, I guess, encase someone's consciousness or take over their body. And she threatened to basically kill Torben, who's a Padawan at this moment, kill Torben if they, you know, did anything crazy. And then carry on, Moss's character was like, come on, we're Jedi, we have a right to train you, kid. She's like, oh, fine. So that's how that happened. And then they're like, okay, fine. What are we going to do? They had a couple of witches meeting. They're like, what are we going to do? And then there's an old CGI lady. Not kidding. An old lady CGI'd. I'm not kidding. I actually want you to go back and watch it. It's ridiculous. An old CGI lady shows up and says, well, they can always fail the test. And then they're like, oh my god, that's so smart. So then they told the twins, hey, lie on your test. And then May was like, are you going to lie on the test, Osha? And then Osha was like, I don't want to. I want to follow my heart. I want to be a Jedi. And then May was like, promise me. And then Osha was like, oh, fine. So then May goes through her test. We don't see hers. And then Osha has like a little thing with Kel Naka and goes, and then that's it. And then Osha does her test. And you know the thing that Anakin did, like a cup, a speeder, a cup in episode one. Mm-hmm. And then Mace Windu was like, you got them all right. That's the test that they did. So that part was cool. But this time, Osha was lying on purpose. And Sol and Carrie Ann, Moss's character, they looked at each other. They kept saying correct, even though she got it wrong. And she's like, wait, but that wasn't a... And then he's like, oh, why are you lying? So that part was kind of tight. I was like, oh, shoot. I like that one. That was cool.
Mm.
But then it goes down again. So then he's like, you have to tell the truth. And then as soon as May and Osha go out, May sees Osha, she gets this angry face and then leaves. Like, oh my God, you lied to me. And then later they had a mother and daughter meeting. They're like, oh, May lied to me. And then Osha was like, I wanted to follow my heart. I want to be a Jedi. She said that again. And then May was like, what's wrong with my game? Hey! And started throwing fits. And then Coral, Mother Coral, the Darth Maul sister, took her. And then Mother Anisha was like, are you sure this is what you want? Osha was like, yeah, I want to be a Jedi. She was like, you're not going to see me ever again. That's how the Jedi works. And then Osha was like, are you sure? She was like, yeah. She's like, I still want to be a Jedi. And then, okay, we'll have a meeting of witches and we'll see what we can do. And then May shows up in their room. And then May was like, I'm not going to let you leave. And then Osha's like, why? Why are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? May says this verbatim right here. I'm going to kill you. Yeah. So then May starts a fire and sets off stone and metal and dirt on fire. Let me say that again. She says stone and dirt and metal on fire, and it catches on like it's a rainforest. All the witches die. They're all in a pile. They don't look burnt. So it's got me thinking that like maybe the Jedi like killed them or something like that. Like they kind of like murdered them. I don't know. But at this point, I don't really care. They're all piled up. They don't look burnt whatsoever. One person I did not see was Mother Coral, which I think is the Sith with the red lightsaber. I think it's her. And then what have you done? And then Osha says, what have you done? May says, what have you done? And then Osha says again, what have you done? And then May falls. And then Sol saves Osha, and then they go to Coruscant, whatever. Yeah, so this is where people started complaining, very rightly so. Ivana looked at me. She was so uncomfortable the whole episode. She
couldn't handle Ivana is his wife, acting. By the way.
Yeah, she couldn't handle anything. She looked at me. I swear to my switch. She looked at me. And said, because I shouldn't be saying another thing. I swear to my switch, And she looked at me and said, no, no, this is not Star Wars. Immediately put on Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, to detox. To detox. She gave Episode 7, 8, and 9 a chance. And she liked them at first, but then the more research that she did on her own about the Force and Star Wars, she ended up not liking 7, 8, and 9. She would rather watch 7, 8, and 9, and for good reason. But I love Star Wars Episode 7. That's one of my highest rated Star Wars movies, in my opinion. But I would watch Rise of Skywalker 10 times over in order to detox from Acolyte. It is that bad. This is only the third episode. They have 8 or 9 coming in. But this is what I wanted to tell you. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
Dave Filoni's hands are all up in this. I'm going to say this right now. I do not trust Dave Filoni anymore. He is a fraud. Here's why I say this, and it makes me feel so uncomfortable by saying this. When we look at the Clone Wars, it's the very first Star Wars going into it, right? He's a huge fan. He knows how Star Wars works. He knows how the Jedi works. He knows how George Lucas wanted it. But the more research that I did, George Lucas's hands was still on it. He wasn't done with Star Wars at that point.
During the Acolyte?
I know. No, no, during Clone Wars. Now, this is the Clone Wars TV show. Hold on. I got you. So the timeline. Clone Wars TV show. George Lucas's hands all up in it. Him and Dave Filoni were together. We're working on it together. That's one thing that I knew, but I never focused on because I was like, Dave Filoni's the greatest. No. George Lucas and Dave Filoni together, okay? Rebels. Just Filoni. It was still cool. Good. It was tight. It was still good. Not as good as Clone Wars, we both know. But it's still good. Like it's not bad. We like Ezra. We like Sabine. We love Kanan. You know, we still love Ahsoka. She'll never do wrong. She's amazing. Okay, fine. Mandalorian. It wasn't just Dave Filoni. It was Jon Favreau. Them two were together. They were great. You know what I'm saying? Jon Favreau, I saw, had a lot more to do with the Mandalorian than I thought. So, literally, that was his baby. That was great. Literally, the only thing that Dave Filoni had an original concept of was the child, was Grogu. So, I was like, okay, whatever, you know, fine. And I started noticing a pattern. Forces of Destiny, something you haven't watched. It's supposed to be, like, an all-female thing, like, you know, like, empowering the females. And it's, like, little, like, cartoon shorts. And I thought it was cool. But then I started noticing a pattern. I was like, okay, but I was like, I still like it though, because it told us, you know, those stories in between Clone Wars and Rogue One, and like, I was like, okay, I won't be too critical. It was okay, but that was just Filoni. I was like, okay, I'll leave it. I was like, I still trust in Dave Filoni. We trust. That was, you know, I was still in. And then Book of Boba Fett. And at this point, he starts becoming the creative director over all Star Wars media. So this is like, okay, Ahsoka, he does that, is not as great as a lot of Star Wars stuff. It hurts me to say that because Ahsoka is my favorite character. It was still okay, but it wasn't great. It's hard to say that. It was okay, but it wasn't great. Kenobi was okay. It wasn't great, but it was good enough. But it's still not reaching the factor of like, oh my god, this is like Star Wars. Leslie Headland gets hired for the Acolyte. Leslie Headland went to Dave Filoni, asked him for advice about the Covet of Witches. He gave her everything that he had in the box. In terms of make sure, you know, that you do this, that you do that. If you want to, you should definitely do that. Just make them very different from the Jedi and we're all good. He is the great creative director over everything. Let me explain his job. he's the person that makes sure all the timelines are in check, all the stories are in check, and all talking to each other, and making sure that there's no discrepancies with Star Wars and how Star Wars is supposed to go. That's his job. He failed miserably. And I am angry. Filoni, it was supposed to be a George Lucas Jr. That's how he was portrayed. And the more stuff, or the more interviews that I watched, the more stuff that I read, the more angry I got. Because Sam Witwer should have been a creative director in Star Wars. He understands Star Wars. I would rather have Sam Witwer over anyone any day.
Yeah.
He is the real George Lucas Jr.
I agree. I'm going to butt in a little bit here. I've been being quiet a lot because I have a lot of feelings about this. But noting on the last thing you said, I agree. Sam Witwer should have been one of the creative directors, because there was an interview that I saw where he was talking to someone and he goes, "Oh yeah, I actually blew Dave Filoni away with my Star Wars knowledge at one point." And they were like, "What do you mean?" He was like, "Well, I was auditioning for Starkiller from Force Unleashed." He goes, "And the audition was, I was supposed to be sitting there meditating, putting together the lightsaber."
Oh, it wasn't Dave Filoni. It was another person. But yes, the creator of the game.
Dave Filoni is the one that got surprised, though. Because in that interview.
That was another interview. I'll tell about that interview. But yes, go ahead with the Force Unleashed one.
Okay, yes. But with the Force Unleashed one. Oh, okay. I remember the difference between the two now. But yes, I'll continue with Force Unleashed. The Force Unleashed one, yes. He was like, he was kind of tense and he was like, just like grunting all the time. And he was doing that. They did it about four times and he did it the same way every time. And by the fourth time, the game director, who Dave Filoni had, I don't think he had any hand in it, but it just shows Sam Witwer's capacity of Star Wars. And they were like, why are you so tense? He's supposed to be meditating. And he goes, "Starkiller doesn't know how to meditate. Darth Vader is his master. He's the apprentice. Darth Vader is not the same as Anakin Skywalker. Darth Vader version of meditating, he wouldn't have taught him peace. Because in the Force, in the dark side of the Force, it's supposed to be take it, take control. Just force it." And he goes, "So that's what Starkiller's doing when he's meditating, is just gotta force all the pieces together to make it fit." And he's just angry while he's doing it. And the game director was like, okay, you got the part. And then the other one, I do remember now, the one with Dave Filoni was, it was Clone Wars time. And they were talking about like, oh, Anakin talking about Padme meeting Shmi for the first time, and them sitting down having dinner, or them meeting and being like, oh, there was a line about, oh, I've heard so much about you, it's so nice to meet you. And Sam was in the corner essentially just listening, because he plays Darth Maul. He was in the corner and he goes, excuse me, that doesn't work. And Dave Filoni basically looked over and went, "Why wouldn't that work?" And he goes, "Because Padme's already met Shmi. She sat down in her house to have dinner with Shmi. So they've already met, so that line makes no sense." And he said that Dave Filoni kind of stood there and thought, and he took his hat off, and he just kind of looked around. And he said an assistant leaned over to him and was like, "I've never seen someone out Star Wars Dave Filoni." So
yep.
All that encompasses why Sam Witwer should have been one of the creative directors. Because if he would have, I feel like stuff, number one, would have gone in such a different direction. Number two, who's the new director for Acolyte? What's her name?
Leslie Headland.
Leslie Headland. I feel like Leslie Headland and Kathleen Kennedy would have never been hired if Sam Witwer had his say-so. I feel like, you know, he should have been the head of it. And then a few things I do want to say about the Acolyte season, episode 3 as well. this is me getting everything out. So I watched the first two episodes and I told you, like, my rating was about 5.5, maybe 6. It was less than average. And so Jabin can tell you, we sat down to record today, and I was like, hey, I actually never got around watching episode 3. I've been a little bit busy. And he goes, you need to watch that before we get into this. I said, do you have time for me to sit down and watch this? He said, yeah. So I put it on. I shared my screen. The beginning acting portion of those little girls, and I know they're little kids, so I'm going to try and be as nice at this as I can. That is the most early 2000s flat acting from a child actor I've seen in a very long time. Was not good. On top of that, there was an interview with the main actress and the director where they literally said this is the gayest Star Wars has ever been. And that pisses me off because Star Wars has never been about sexuality or current day events. It's literally set a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. They said, and I quote, you can't tell me C-3PO isn't gay. And that R2-D2... Oh,
don't forget, is a lesbian.
R2-D2 is a lesbian. And it's like, okay. On the realist note, they're robots with built-in voices. Implying that someone or something is gay implies that they have a sexual tendency. Robots are robots. That makes the least amount of sense of anything anyone has ever said about Star Wars. And on top of that, why are you shoving sexuality so far down our throats? Because literally, bless you, when it comes to that kind of stuff, literally the only thing, like, quote-unquote, relationship-wise that has ever been a big thing in Star Wars, obviously Anakin and Padme, because that was how Luke and Leia, so that was, like, a given. And then you had Obi-Wan and Satine. They were never officially a thing, but they liked each other. Other than that, there's never been really, like, a relationship focus to Star Wars outside of those two. There's been little things here and there. There's never been, like, a... This whole thing with, like, the, oh, make everyone in Star Wars gay, and, oh, they, them. It's like, why not make it about Star Wars? Why not make it about intergalactic battles and the best fight scenes you can get and an emotionally impactful story about two sisters? Like, what happened to that? So, that part bothered me. And then... And I don't know if everyone listening knows this or even cares, but I am a Christian. And when it comes to that kind of stuff, when they started doing the whole chanting thing and like their eyes were rolling back in their heads and some of them started going into like laughing fits and the like whole with the sister, the little girl, that is the most demonically inspired thing of... I had to shut it off in the middle. Jabin can tell you, I was watching it. And about halfway through that scene, I paused it. I said, I'm done. You're going to have to tell me the rest. I'm done. Because that is the most demonically inspired thing that Star Wars has ever done. And it just... I don't know. It just gets on my nerves to another level that no other series has ever done. Because not only are you making it all about sexuality and all about diversity when it comes to sexual preferences, and it's like, that's never been a thing in Star Wars. But on top of those two, you're bringing, and I know there was like the Dathomirians and the Night Sisters and all that kind of stuff. I didn't like that in Clone Wars either. I skipped a lot of that. But this takes it to a whole nother level where not only are they redefining the entirety of the Force, which inside Star Wars upsets me because it's like this has already been a thing for years and decades. And now you're just going to change it to fit your agenda and your idea of what this could be. Not only are you going to do that, but you're going to take away literally the entire plot line of how Anakin came to be. And it's like, so that was like a special occurrence where someone evil tried to do something and the Force was like, nah, I'm just going to create the Chosen One. It's so much different, I feel like, because with the... which is whatever they are. it was, excuse me, it was this like, oh, so I have, there's one woman impregnating another woman, and now they have children through the Force, and now we're going to indoctrinate those children in a cult of witches, and there's all this like magic stuff happening in your head, which, like you said, isn't even the right color. It's supposed to be blue. The Force is always portrayed as blue, always has been, or red. So completely different color, number one. And number two, it's literally a satanic cult, is what that cult of witches was. And it bothers the ever-living daylights out of me. So when, I'm not even going to say the title of this episode, because you said you just want to see it. But once you'll see it, you'll see what I mean in what the title is, because that's what Star Wars is. That's what Star Wars is now. It has totally gone off the rails from being this hopeful, triumphant thing of light versus dark to, and like a few lessons in between, a family and of redemption and of trust and stuff like that, from 1 to 6, into being this multi-layered, unconventional, oh, let's push a message as hard as we can and then just layer Star Wars on top of that. Star Wars has never been that. It's labeled as a galaxy far, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, because it's not supposed to be like this. It's not supposed to be like Earth. It's supposed to be a sci-fi thing, a long ways away, a long time ago. So it's like, why are you not sticking to the grounds and the formation of what Star Wars originally was, and taking it and bringing certain things that the world has been going through right now, and certain agendas that a lot of people have these days, and going, we're going to put that in there, even though that shouldn't be in there, from a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. My thank you for coming to my TED Talk. It's the worst thing in the world to have one of my favorite series, which I'm even wearing a shirt of. This is from episode 5, I think, Hoth. Yeah, or 4 and 5. Of like a series where I was like, this is so enjoyable because there's such great like values behind it, but it's still like sci-fi-esque, and it's very like the visuals are getting better and the fights are getting better. And then turning it into something that I can't enjoy anymore. The entire thing about Star Wars is it stopped at Kenobi and Ahsoka, I would say, is where it stopped. The only good media Star Wars has been putting out is games. Anyway, I'm done. Go ahead.
I'm done. I'm done with Disney Star Wars. The latest Star Wars media that I have enjoyed now is this game called Star Wars Hunters. I'm having so much fun with that. I even got the book. I have it right here. Dude, this is not product placement. This is me saying they still make some kind of Star Wars media. It's great. I love it. Female-led character, and it's freaking amazing still. It's a great story. It's based off the video game, and it's supposed to be like its own like Star Wars WWE thing, both like bounty hunters and stuff. It's so awesome. Yeah, I'm done. I love Dune so much. Dune is awesome. Oh. Man.
Did you want an update on that? I like
about
Dune.
What?
Dune.
Okay.
I like Dune and the premise behind it a lot.
But...
I have rewatched it. I like the complexity of it. I do not like such heavy reliance on witches. I can't get behind it.
And see, no, and you're taking it into a, and I understand if it bothers your conscience, but literally, I'm not kidding. It's all science. It is not superstition. This is not the Night Sisters or Coven of Witches thing. They're called witches because people don't understand their brand of science. They have been just elevated with their mind so much with knowledge that they have knowledge that other people don't have. And it's not from this mysterious energy. It's not from the force either.
How do you
It's
explain the
literally all
voice?
science and technology. That's a natural born thing that they created because they are able to, I told you this, they're so focused in their body that they can control different parts of their body to where they can change the gender of their child while it's forming. That's, but the same thing with their voice. Science. They manipulate their vocal cords, and it only works if people are willing to have some kind of sense of willing to listen. Like it won't work if to someone that's like just shuts their brain off and is able to like focus on one thing. They can't be controlled. It's only by people that can actually be influenced. So it's again like the force only works on the weak-minded, except that the voice is stronger because almost everyone can be manipulated. So again, vocal cords. There's no, that's what I'm trying to tell you. It's all science, bro. That's why I love it, because it's all explained and I love it. There's
And
no mysterious anything. It's all humans, it's all science. It is just crazy political stuff happening and I love
I totally
it.
get that, but like the whole thing with the voice and the choosing the gender of your baby, that bothers my conscience a little bit.
No, it shouldn't. Here's why. Like, here's the thing. It's supposed to be to where they're not supposed. There's no. It's supposed to be to where they're not good. You know what I mean? They have their own. This is a different way of saying it. They have their own agenda to just make sure that they stay in power and that the universe doesn't break. That's their whole stitch. And in order to do that, they have to manipulate everything. That's what's so dark and creepy about it, is that they have to do the crazy stuff that people aren't willing to do, that they have, that they're the only ones that are able to do it. So they trained their bodies and their minds to do this naturally. They have elevated themselves as human beings to make sure that they have the abilities, not powers, abilities to focus on their bodies so that they can literally control everything around them by using the voice, by being smarter than everyone, and literally manipulating their own internal organs, whether it be sexual or not. That is insane and scary because of the power of manipulation that they hold. So it's nothing dark to where Satan is grabbing in there and changing stuff around.
No,
They're physically changing their cells around because they're that in tune with their body. It's like the whole theory of I don't believe this, but you know how people are saying, we only use 10% of our brain. It's the theory of what if we are able to elevate that not only at 100, but past it.
like that movie
What can
Lucy or
we actually
whatever.
focus on? Yeah, pretty much. It's pretty much that. But what if we can use that for other things? And that's why we have the Bene Gesserit. That's why we have the Mentats, where literally the human computers that are able to calculate anything, even though there's no enhances, they like inhale it's not spice, but it's not another kind of spice, but they're able to think faster so that they can do calculations faster and everything like that, or like tell you how far something is happening. You know what I mean? It's
Yeah.
supposed to be all humans if they were at their best, but kind of, manipulated to be at their worst.
Yeah. No, I get the whole thing. I just don't think you're gonna change my mind from it bothering me a little bit. Like
Okay. The
I
only thing
respect
for
the
me,
series.
for me, the only thing that would bother me would be like the if there is this spirit or something that is not that isn't explained. That's what bothers me, is that for me that would be influence. by demons and the devil. Like, okay, no, I can't do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you're calling, because for me, it's like calling onto demons to do your work for you. That's where I cross the line. I'm like, can't do it. So, like, the covet of witches that's happening here, like, that bothered me to the core, because they not only manipulated the force, but changed it into this crazy cult thing. I was like, okay, no, can't do that. That's why I didn't like Doctor Strange in the comic books, because he literally calls on to demons constantly. So I'm like, okay, no, can't do that. So like stuff like that, that's fine. But if you give me something that doesn't have any kind of like mystical thing in it, but and it's explained with like fun science theory stuff, then I'm all in. Because let me tell you, I'm just gonna say this real quick. You can literally look at the Bene Gesserit and you can look at Hulk. They're the same thing. And you're probably like, what the heck? How are they the same thing? The Hulk literally elevated himself to be the craziest human being possible with undeniable strength and almost close to, for humans, invulnerability in a lot more ways than one. That isn't all the way explained, but all we know is that gamma radiation upped them up.
Yeah, no.
Same Here's thing with the Bene Gesserit.
I agree with that portion of it. The thing that bothers me is in the world scientifically explained, it's just too close to what actual like witches in the world believe they can do. Like actual.
Oh, and here's the thing. The reason why they feel like they can do that is with the energy through the universe, which is funny because the Bene Gesserit in the books call that called bullcrap, essentially, which is hilarious. So literally, they literally created a school of just for, which is I think is awesome, is just for them in order to understand how people. Humans work as best as possible and do their best to be better than everyone. And the reason why they look like witches or they're called witches, they don't even call themselves witches because they don't even like that word. Everyone around them calls them witches because they don't understand what the Bene Gesserit are doing. They're that secret. It's literally like how people perceive the Jedi. They don't know how, like, regular people, they don't know how the Jedi work. That's why, like, people on Coruscant, they hate the Jedi, dude. That's literally where the Jedi live. They don't like them. They're like, they suck. Why are they here? Like, what are they doing? Are they actually doing something? Except, the only difference is that the Bene Gesserit doesn't have this mystical force going through them. They literally just have their minds.
Again, I can respect it. I can respect the fact of people liking it, but if I don't know. I'll have to look into it a little more, but there's just something that
Well, dude, don't let me change your mind.
Yeah.
Do your own research before you make your own conclusion. And my thing is if it bothers me, bothers me. If it bothers you, bothers me. Close it off. Yeah. You know what I mean? If you're getting a little antsy, like, I don't know, I wouldn't close it off right away. For me, I would be like, you know what? Let me learn more so I have a for sure answer. Because you and I are more mature now. We're not teenagers. So if we were teenagers, we're more easily influenced. You and I have a strengthened conscience. We have a strengthened conscience now, and we're able to pick and choose what we like and what we don't like without being influenced by stupidity or, you know, stuff that bothers our, I should say, should bother our Bible-based conscience.
Yeah.
So do more research on the Bene Gesserit, because they are literally probably one of the most important aspects of Dune because of everything. Like, you already know, And they're literally going to make a show out of them. And I really, 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 really want you in this world with me. I really do. And it is really funny because even my grandparents and my dad are all up in it. They love it so much because there is nothing like that, because it's all scientifically proven. We wouldn't be touching anything if it had anything that would like make us be like, The only thing that same thing like you that my grandpa didn't like was the word witches. But then as soon as he understood why everyone called him that, he was like, oh, okay, I'm chill. He was like, okay, I'm fine. Like it bothered him, but that's just because people didn't understand what they were doing. But as soon as he was like, oh, all right. Because it's been around since the 60s. So not only the books, they watched the original movie. And the original movie made it seem like they were like mystical, that they were, had like the, but they didn't. It was literally just spiced.
I'll do some research. But yeah, about the Acolyte and everything, I think we've said our piece. I hope, like we said, the games they're coming out with are still good. But outside of that, the movies that, well, they haven't made a movie in a minute.
I don't even think Star Wars Outlaws is going to be good. The new game, I don't think it's
Oh,
going to
I'm
be
not
good.
buying it. It looks like a bland, regardless of the story, it just looks like a bland third-person shooter with cover mechanics. I saw a really, really funny video, and I know you'll relate to this. This guy, he kind of does parodies of like trailers, not parodies per se, but like he'll say what the fans think in like a skit form. So he did this one on Star Wars Outlaws, and they were like, we're excited to bring you Star Wars Outlaws. And he goes, okay, a game set in the Star Wars universe. They were like, it's completely open
Okay,
world.
no. I subscribed to him. I watched all of his videos. I know exactly who you're talking about. I love his Bloodborne videos and Dark Souls
It's the
videos.
one where he's like, it's a world that sounds great. And he goes, and honestly, it's gonna be a lot like Spider-Man. And he was like, how does that work? And they were like, but we're gonna take your favorite portions from it. We're gonna put only the MJ portions in it and make that the entire game. And he was like, huh? And so I saw that. I thought it was absolutely hilarious. I can't think of the creator's name, but absolutely hilarious way of putting it, because that's what it seems like, is that it's just gonna be this bland third-person shooter about a smuggler that we don't really care about. And they gave her a little cute pet to try and make her relatable.
For $100.
For $100, which is, I'm
Oh,
sorry,
good.
there's something in my throat. I'm sorry, I keep doing the clearing my throat, but yeah, it's, I don't know, it looks atrocious. So Star Wars, I'm gonna have to start testing Star Wars, which I never thought I would have to do. I used to always be excited for every piece of Star Wars. Now I'm gonna have to look at it and
I'm
go,
done.
okay, how is this? No, okay.
I'm done. I'm giving away my Star Wars High Republic comic books. I'm done.
Well, here's the thing. You don't have to specifically give away those, because you can think of it as
No,
it.
I am. No, I am. I can't. They're created by the same people. I can't. They're literally in the same timeline. Can't do it.
I thought High
I
Republic
can't.
was created a long time ago. Not in the story, but like the comic books.
It was. I can't do it. It got infested. There's gnats in it. The Acolyte is the High Republic. They didn't touch nothing. Nothing bad touched 1 through 6. Tell me I'm wrong. Nothing
That's
bad
CGI, that was
touched.
about it.
Nothing, no Disney Star Wars, nothing bad touch 1 through 6.
No, like not there. There wasn't a hint of wokeness. There wasn't a hint of like uneasiness about any of the story beats. It was very, very digestible between one and six. And there was never a time when we were like, wait, that's not supposed to happen. Like, that never crossed my mind.
The greatest piece of Disney Star Wars of all time, which I feel like is better than a few, maybe a couple of the original six, in my opinion, Rogue One. That is the best Star Wars piece of media ever made by Disney. Ever. No one can change my mind. That is the greatest Disney Star Wars ever. And everything that Star Wars is, and just, oof, just.
And dare I say, seasons one and two of Mando are on par with some of the originals.
But that's, I'm so mad that they messed up on season three. Yeah. Mando one and two were
near perfect. Mm. I actually want to go back and rewatch them now.
Mm. And I can't. And I can't anymore. They got tarnished by three. Can't do it.
Three didn't happen in my brain. It ends. In my personal opinion, here's how my brain now comprehends it. Luke comes back, finds Grogu to train with the Jedi Temple, or like for the new band of Jedi, finds him. Mando has this emotional goodbye with him. He gives him away. Mando goes away a changed bounty hunter, a changed man. Grogu goes on to be in the entire, to be a new Jedi with Luke. That's the end of the Mandalorian story. Now, for my opinion.
And this is why I have to give away my High Republic comic books, because it's all the Star Wars media that I have collected so far haven't been tarnished by Disney yet. Yeah. My Ahsoka sabers, I'm fine. My Jedi Survivor, I'm fine. My Star Wars Mandalorian Stormtrooper, I'll keep it. You know what I mean? Like, I'll keep it. It hasn't been tarnished. It got a little hit. My K2SO droid, Rogue One is perfect. My blaster, I'm good. My thermal detonators from Disneyland, I'm keeping those. My Millennium Falcon, my Millennium Falcon bottle opener, I'm keeping it. My Star Wars books, including Star Wars Hunters, I'm keeping it. Like, my Star Wars Episode 7 card collection. Oh my god, that was probably the greatest, most valuable piece of Star Wars anything that I have personally to me. None of the stuff up on my wall isn't tarnished, and I have to keep it this way, and I'm not changing it unless there's like old school Star Wars stuff. I can't collect new stuff anymore. I just can't. And I want to. You know what I mean? I looked at my High Republic comic books, and I said, I don't like you anymore. Like, I wanted to like it. I just couldn't. They were on a good road. They just
I feel like what popped through my head was in Toy Story 2 when he looks at Woody and goes, I don't want to play with you anymore, and drops him into the abyss. And that's what you're doing with the High Republic comics.
Forget that. Dude, I'm literally replaying Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2 just so that, like, before they ruin it, I just want that happiness again. Because guess what? Leslie Headland, She's gonna create Knights of the Old Republic. She's gonna redo it. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a joke, right?
Yeah. No. No. That's why I'm done. I'm done. I don't care. Okay, great. At this point, I don't care how good Acolyte 4 through 8 might be. It might be the greatest thing ever. I don't care. 1 through 3 broke all my trust. I'm done. There's no way to save the Acolyte. There's, personally for me, no way to save Disney Star Wars. If you have Kathleen Kennedy, if you have Dave Filoni, if you have Leslie Headland, if you have people that are constantly hired because of what they identify as rather than are they good for the job, rather than their ability of storytelling, keep being hired to throw out this garbage that is that keeps getting thrown at us. It's ridiculous. They're literally just spitballing everything. None of the actors and actresses care about Star Wars. The dude, the Jedi that you kind of like, that I didn't like, the dude with the haircut,
super
like
over,
dude,
yeah.
that you like. I hate the actor. I don't know why. Because in a freaking interview, I'm not sure if you saw the interview, but he was saying how the greatest thing about Star Wars is that it's not good and bad. And hold on, yeah. That he already missed that part, but it gets worse. He said, "Don't you think when Anakin blew up the Death Star, it killed millions and millions of people?" Hold on. He continues. Wait, hold on. It gets worse. He continues to say Anakin blew up the Death Star twice. He keeps referencing Anakin blowing up the Death Star three times during this interview, and none of his co-actors or actresses shut him up about the Anakin blowing up the Death Star. They try to shut him up about don't say that it's not good or bad. None of them care about Star Wars. They don't even know anything about Star Wars. They literally just want their name on Star Wars just so that they can get a check or get like better, better roles for a different place or, whatever. They don't care about Star Wars. It's ridiculous. So I don't know. We have literal people that are mocking the fans, and even the showrunner and the actress said that this isn't for Star Wars fans. This is for the new fans coming in. This is to make new fans. So they already off the gate said, "Oh no, we don't want you guys. We want other people to like Star Wars, and this is their way of doing it." Yeah, so I'm going to put a stamp on this. I can go on for days and days and days. Disney, you get the idea. We don't...
Be better.
We don't like you right now. You are touching something that means a lot to us, that we enjoy together, that we enjoy with our families, that we really like to, invest our money in. Yes, and we invest our money in it. Yeah, and I'm for right now, Disney, you're doing so bad. I am willing to throw away, and this is a lot for me to say, I am willing to throw away Star Wars, The Clone Wars, 2008, the whole show. I'm willing to throw that out. I'm willing to throw the Mandalorian out. I'm willing to throw the Ahsoka character out. I'm willing to throw literally everything except for Rogue One out of the window and throw the original Star Wars Legends stories and throw them back in there. Force Unleashed, Knights of the Old Republic, Star Wars original Star Wars Battlefront story with the clones knowing that they had to kill the Jedi. There's no chip. I'm willing to throw all the Star Wars legends back in my brain and be like, this is Star Wars, just because they're literally ruining everything. Because literally all of this is all in its own, it is in its timeline from the Acolyte to Episode 9. It's too much. I can't do it. Too many stories. They're not cohesive. I can't follow anymore, and I can't keep saying that something is good enough when we had six movies that were literally perfect all together in a story, whether you liked them or not. They were all in a cohesive story that made sense, that was interesting, that people fell in love with, and is the reason why you keep creating shows based off of it. I'm done. So for me, Star Wars Legends is back in. I'm willing to throw away Mandalorian again. Mandalorian, Clone Wars. My Clone Wars now, even though I love the 2008 Clone Wars, it's fantastic. It's literally one of the greatest things Star Wars has ever created. Just because it's in the timeline, the same timeline as of the Acolyte, I'm replacing it with the 2003 Star Wars.
Can you believe
I'm actually done. Oh no, my little guy, he agrees too. He's with me.
For those of you listening, not watching, I have a little baby Groot sitting on my shoulder, just because I needed some comfort.
Yeah.
Anyway, Yeah. So we've been talking for about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So I think we got to wrap it up here. But that has been our basic stuff on the Acolyte. Jabin just said exactly both what we're feeling when it comes to what we think about Disney Star Wars and what we want. So we'll see what happens in the future. But for now, both of us are kind of giving up on Star Wars. You know, the old stuff, great. But any of the newer stuff, there's a handful of stuff I'll still watch. But outside of that, no. But anyway, I think that's about it. Again, I don't know if we're going to be getting back to one episode a week now, just because our work schedules are still pretty crazy. We'll try and put out as often as we can. But we can't guarantee anything in this season at the moment.
Yeah, we'll definitely, in terms of the Acolyte, I feel like this will be either our only episode of the Acolyte, or we will be doing maybe one more when the show ends, and maybe, you know, we might like review what we like about it, definitely what we dislike about it. But in terms of the Acolyte and how we feel about it, we are done. This might be the only episode. So once something more nerdy comes back around, like in like big news, we'll definitely be back. But yeah, we aren't going to be doing every week just because we got bigger, but we will do at least once every two if we can.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
But in terms of the Acolyte, we are done. There are no Star Wars titles that we are probably going to be discussing anymore, just because it's gotten this bad. There's literally no point anymore. That's very depressing to say. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, so anyways, guys, we look forward to seeing you next time, whenever that is, but let me do the outro. I guess we have an outro. So thank you guys so much for watching, and we will see all of you in the next one. Bye, guys.
See you.